Well, I want to start a new series with you this weekend. If you'd like to follow this in your Bibles, you can turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. There are message notes on the Bayside Church website and app. Just click on the media tab, and at the end of those notes, you'll find some discussion questions that are great to use either on your own, maybe with a few friends, or in your connect groups. This new series is called Like Jesus. And really, it kind of picks up the second part of our Bayside Church vision, which is to courageously love and empower people to become like Jesus. I've spent several weeks this year teaching on the first part of that vision statement being about courageous love. But in these next few weeks, I want to comment on what it means to empower people, to empower you and me to become like Jesus. So to answer that question, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is Jesus like? And the title of the message today is a bit strange. It's called God Con Carne. And I will explain what I mean by that a little bit later in this message. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, one of the most profound parts of the entire Bible. I could teach on this every weekend for a year and plunge the depth of the beautiful truth that John is articulating here, but let's see if we can at least scratch the surface of it today. So John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Let's go down to verse 10. He came into the world, talking about Jesus, he came into the world, the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth, resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Verse 16, from his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Amazing truth. Let's start with the last verse, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. And then look at that last line. Jesus has revealed God to us. In other words, what we find in Jesus is what God is really like. As you read through the Hebrew scriptures, what Christians normally refer to as the Old Testament, we get some pictures of God that we think, my goodness, it's very different to Jesus. In the Hebrew scriptures, often it records what people thought God was like and sometimes how God met people where they were at. And in fact, what we find here in the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures is God literally taking people on a journey. This is referred to as the arc of scripture or the trajectory of truth, as hard as the word trajectory is to say. The arc of scripture, the fact that God meets people where they're at, but then takes them on a journey into a greater degree of truth about God, which culminates in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple of examples just to really kind of flesh out what I'm talking about here. Example one is that of blood sacrifices. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to this guy called Abram. Over the process of time, God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Sarai, his wife, is changed to Sarah. And in Genesis chapter 21, we find God giving a very kind of a bizarre request, if you like, to Abraham. He says, take your son, your only son, take him to the mountain I show you, and there I want you to sacrifice your son to me. This is the same God that in other parts of the Hebrew scriptures condemns human sacrifice. And so what's going on here? I know many people over the years have looked at that story and kind of shaken their heads that God would ask one of his followers to sacrifice their own son, and they kind of shake their heads and walk away. But what we've got to understand is this. The story of Abraham is from the beginning of the second millennium BCE. So we're looking at over 4,000 years ago. We're looking at some ancient people here. Things were very different. Life was different. And Abraham, when he was called out of his tribe of people by God to become a follower of Yahweh, he was part of a social setting and a religious practice where child sacrifice was the way that you appeased a deity. And so when we read this story in Genesis 22, Abraham never flinches. He doesn't blink. He doesn't question. He doesn't go, well, that's not right, God. We can't kill our own kids. Because his whole cultural background was from a place where that's what you did to please a god. You sacrificed a child to that god. And so what we find here in Genesis 22 is God nudging humanity away. He never wanted Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. What he's doing, though, is meeting Isaac on common ground and then leading him into a better truth, if you like. So at the end of that story, just as Abraham is about to plunge the dagger into Isaac, the angel says, stop, right there. And there's a goat in the thicket. Sacrifice the animal instead of a child. And so there we see humanity is starting to be shifted. This is the arc of Scripture, away from child sacrifice. Instead of sacrificing children, why don't we sacrifice animals? But even there, we see that God, as you read through this arc of Scripture in the Hebrew Scriptures, God actually wasn't really interested in animal sacrifice either. David got that in Psalm 51, verse 17. He said about God, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. Then he talks about other sacrifices that God did approve of, things like a broken and a contrite heart, a repentant spirit. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. And we get into the Gospels. Jesus said to the Pharisees on one occasion, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So Jesus didn't want animal sacrifice. He wanted people to be sacrificial in their relationships with one another by being merciful to them. And then you get into the book of Hebrews, where the sacrificial system is said to never have worked, had no power to take away sins. You can read it all in Hebrews chapter 10. And so what we see of Jesus in the Gospels is he's going around and on a frequent basis, Jesus is saying to people, your sins are forgiven. I want you to notice there, no sacrifice was made. No animal had to die. Jesus, as God in human form, went around and he would say to different people, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven without a blood sacrifice. That's the arc of Scripture. And so all the way through the Hebrew Scriptures, they started with child sacrifice. God nudged them from sacrificing their own kids to sacrificing animals. And eventually we get to the sacrifice of Jesus, the sacrifice that ended all sacrifices, okay? Once and for all. Once and for all people, once and for all time. The second example I'll give you just very quickly is the warrior God. Now remember, we're talking about more than 4,000 years ago. Humanity has developed a lot over the last 4,000 years. 4,000 years ago, basically humanity was broken up into small tribes that would often break out in war against one another. And so it would be understandable. These people would think that they would kind of make God in their image. So God became a warrior. If you're a warrior tribe and you're fighting another tribe, you wanted God on your side. And God was a warrior who would do battle with you. We still see that among some Christians today. They think God is on the side of a particular political party, or maybe on the side of a football team, for example. I mean, I know we have people at Bayside Church who barrack for Collingwood, and God bless you. We have people at Bayside Church who barrack for the demons. I mean, we obviously know that God is not on the side of the demons. If God is going to be on the side of any football team, obviously he would be for the saints. Amen. But God is not on the side of a particular tribe or political party or a sports team. But what God does in the Hebrew scriptures is he meets them in this common ground. Their expectation of him was to be a warrior. And so in Exodus 15:3, for example, it says, "The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." That word warrior there literally means a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. Is God a man of war? No, he's not. But what he's doing is meeting them on common ground and then leading them somewhere, this arc of scripture. Does God want blood sacrifices? No, he doesn't. And so this arc of scripture in which God is taking people on a journey, he finds common ground with them and then gently nudges them into a better revelation, a better picture of what God is really like. Jesus was doing that. All the parables of Jesus are about meeting people where they were at and then leading them into spiritual truth. The best way for God, or rather for people, to know what you're really like is for them to get to know you personally. One of the things I've loved about this year, amongst all of the challenges and crises and all the negatives that 2020 has brought, one of the things I've really enjoyed doing is spending an hour on Tuesday Night Live between 8 and 9 on Facebook Live and YouTube. And that's been available to everybody from Bayside Church and people beyond our church who have wanted to tune into that either on a Tuesday night or to listen to it or watch it sometime during the week. I've had so many people tell me through the year they have never felt as connected to me and to Christy and to Bayside Church as they do right now. Why? Because I've been hanging out with them for an hour every Tuesday night. They can ask questions, they can make comments. I've been sharing about maybe some of the things I've gone through. For example, a couple of weeks ago, someone put a comment up that they were going through a very difficult time in their life at the moment with a parent who'd been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And so out of that, I was able to share my experience of my mum contracting dementia a number of years ago, and about 4 years ago, she passed away. And I shared really kind of very deeply and very vulnerably about the experiences that I had and that my family had during that time. And it's as you spend that time with people that they get to know you better. And it's the same with God. God wanted to spend time with the human race so that they could really get to know what God was like, not how they thought he was like or what they thought he expected, but what he's really like. And that's what our text in John chapter 1 is all about. Jesus is called the Word, or the expression of God who became flesh. Verse 14, so the Word, the expression of God, became human, literally was made flesh and made his home among us. Most Jews so heavily emphasize that a human being could not become a God that they never considered that God might become a human being. And so this leads me to the title of this message today, God con carne. Many of you will have had a dish called chili con carne. It comes from a Latin word. Con means with, carne means meat or flesh. And so chili is chili con carne, chili with flesh or with meat. And so Jesus is literally God con carne. He is the incarnation, the God made flesh or made human. The incarnation, of course, is what we celebrate at Christmas time, the fact that God was born into the human family as a baby that we know as Jesus Christ, who was raised, who grew up, who was the Messiah, who from the age of 30 began his ministry, walked and talked and interacted with people. And as we read the Gospels, we can read about this Jesus, this real flesh and blood person who really lived on planet Earth. And we can look at Jesus and we know what God is like by getting to know Jesus Christ. In verse 10, it tells us that the Word came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. And that's because they were waiting for someone different. They'd been reading the Hebrew scriptures and they were expecting someone who looked a little bit different. I've had that many times over the years as a radio announcer, because people only ever get to hear me, they don't get to see me. And so when you only hear somebody, you never get to see them, you make a kind of a mental impression of what you think, or what they think you might look like. Now, normally, you know, people would just come to me and they'd say, oh, you look different to the way you sound. And I would just go, oh, yeah, people often say that. But on one occasion, I said, oh, so what did you imagine I looked like? And I really wish I hadn't asked that question, because the person said, oh, you sound like you're kind of short and fat and going bald. And I said, oh, well, you got one out of three, right? Kind of tall and skinny-ish. But anyway, they got this perception of what they thought I looked like. And it's the same with people. They always thought about God in a particular way, that God was a warrior. And that's what they were expecting. When the Messiah turned up, they were expecting a warrior God. They were expecting someone who'd be riding on horses and chariots, who would lead the people to defeat the Roman oppression and to liberate the nation of Israel. But what they got was not a Messiah riding on a horse. They got a servant riding on a young donkey. So what is this God really like? Well, we can know this by looking at Jesus and getting to know him through the Gospels and through the New Testament. Verse 18 says that Jesus has revealed God to us. We look at Jesus to find out what God is really like. 1 John chapter 1, verse 14 tells us that he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Verse 17, the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's not someone who wants blood sacrifice. Here's not someone who is a warrior, who's a man of war. Here's someone who is demonstrating unfailing love and faithfulness. Unfailing love is literally covenant love. That is a legal agreement that God makes with humanity through the person of Jesus Christ, that he is going to love and only love you. If I was to expand on this unfailing love a little bit, it means kindness that God gives of himself towards others, that God is always leaning into people to bless them. Notice that. He's not leaning away from people. He's not trying to escape from people. He's leaning into people to watch out for them and to bless them. That's what unfailing love is all about. Faithfulness is covenant faithfulness. Again, that legal agreement that God makes with humanity to constantly express truth in life. And that's what we see in the person of Jesus Christ. We see truth embodied. He is the Word that has become flesh, not just words on a page, but words in a human being. So he is the Word made flesh. He is the embodiment of truth. So he was able to say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, constantly expressing truth in the way that he lives. Now remember, the vision of Bayside Church is to courageously love and empower people to become like Jesus. And so what does it mean? What does it look like to become like Jesus? What does it look like to become like him? Well, it means that we will emulate his qualities of unfailing love and faithfulness. When we act in that way, we're like Jesus. When we are kind to people, we're being like Jesus. When we lean toward others to look for ways to bless them, we're being like Jesus, rather than leaning away from them or trying to exclude them, which is unchristlike. When I'm constantly looking for ways to live out God's truth, I'm being like Jesus. And we do all of this through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And so I want to leave you with that challenge, not just today, but throughout this week and the weeks to come. Am I being like Jesus Christ? How can I be like Jesus in this particular setting? How can I be like Jesus in the workplace? How can I be like Jesus when I meet my friends at a cafe? How can I be like Jesus when I'm dealing with teachers or parents at school or whatever the case might be? How can I be kind? How can I demonstrate love? How can I lean into people to bless them? How can I always look out for the good of other people and then look for opportunities to be like Jesus Christ? I want to wrap this up by giving an appeal for you to come to this wonderful God through the person of Jesus Christ. In the person of Jesus, God's whole heart is fleshed out for the world to see. Jesus was in the closest relationship with the Father, and he calls you into such a relationship with God too. So you might say, how can I have that relationship? Well, have a look back at John chapter 1 and verse 12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And so it's very simple. It's not, you know, it's not a lot of rules and regulations in the Christian faith. It's very, very simple. You come to Jesus, you say, yes, I believe in Jesus, and I accept Jesus. To all who believe in him and accept him, he then gives you the right to become a child of the living God. At that point, you are reborn or born again. Not physical birth, but spiritual birth, born again into the family of God, sins forgiven and granted eternal life in his name. Now, our hosts are going to be putting a link in the chat feed at this point. And if you would like to personally believe in and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you click on that link, just fill out a quick form, and that will then connect you to someone who can pray for you. We'd love to be able to post out a pack to you of information about following Jesus Christ and also to send you a Bible as well. God bless you as you do that, and God bless you as you spend some time this week really thinking through, how can I be like Jesus?